Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome to this week's episode of Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matt Peverell and I'm joined by my co-host as always, Marky D, Marky Davison. Mate, there's people in the live chat, Steeler Chick, Kathy Forrard. You know, everyone's keen for this show and Daredevil too. So welcome, everybody.
Well, I was just going to say, you sound heaps keen too, Matty. Why are you
keen? I'm raring to go. I'm pumped, man. I'm watching the Olympics at the moment and, like, you know, I've been having the banter with the guys in the Slack channel about Katie Ledecky and, you know, from America and Ariana Titmus, the Australian, who's like, they're equal on the golds. And then last night, an Australian, a white man, you know, actually made it to the semifinals, 100 meters. He went to my school. He was coached by the same, even now, the guy that, like, the coach to coach me. So, man, I'm like pumped at the moment. I'm feeling good. Had a good night rest. It's a sunny day outside. Yeah, man, I'm pumped. And we get to talk Pittsburgh Steelers. We're a week away from the season. The regulars in the live chat are Steelers family. Get to talk to you, Marky D. Yeah, I'm excited, man.
Yeah, we got also we have the Pro Football Hall of Fame game coming up in six days. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about that. A lot of the young blokes who are playing for the first time in the Steel uniform, and what better way to start their career in hopefully in 10 years' time that some of these guys can go back to the Hall of Fame. So what a full circle kind of idea that is. We're versing the Cowboys. I don't care if it's preseason or if it's playoffs or regular season. We still want to beat the Cowboys. We want to try and run it down their throat. And I want to see good competitive football from these young guys. And I know we're going to talk about that a lot today.
That's it. It's funny, you know, like you talk about Hall of Fame there, you know, Rhino Tool says Troy has COVID. I know, can't believe he's got COVID, but, you know, hopefully we can get through everything to be right for next week. But, you know, and lucky it's happened as early as it has. But it's funny. So we have a kind of a thing. I have the worst handwriting in the world. It's like that saying that if you know, you have bad handwriting, you should have been a doctor, right? Like mine is terrible, right? Like I take my handwriting to the pharmacy once, like, and they're like, what is this? But we have a calendar up on the wall and my fiance, she's always like, write all over it. I love when you write all over it. It makes me feel like we've got stuff going on. She woke up today and I'd written Hall of Fame game in the day and I'd put like blocked out the whole weekend in black and yellow pen and, you know, made sure that it was like, this is what I'm doing this day. Don't disturb me that day. This is what I'm doing. And it felt so good to be able to write that in the calendar. You know, we're one week away, you know.
It's pretty exciting, Matty. Sorry.
It's massively exciting.
I'm so keen to have football back again. We both have guys on YouTube, we both have a Troy jerseys on. Maddie just came in. This is something we didn't have last year with football and all the COVID stuff going on. Yes, we couldn't play it. This year with the NFL, we can. And hey, we've got four preseason games, but it all starts here. And this is the journey that for a lot of the young players we're going to talk about. I've got a few drafted players I think that will step up and have a chance. And it's all about competition. You hear they had the Steelers had the big fan fest today. I would like pay big money to go over there and be a part of that. It's just, I'm so excited to see it. And a lot of people say, oh, it's only a preseason, but you've got to like, you know, there's a small window for the NFL every year and, you know, the off season can drag on. So with the NFL, you've got to enjoy every single moment of it, haven't you?
That's it. I should actually clarify before I tell why, man. But we have never had, Australia's never had someone. We've never been able to produce this. It's not an event that we're good at. We've had some Indigenous competitors before that have done really well, but we've just never had it. And it's just Australia has never been good in those events. It's not racially anything like it. But we're just all sitting back here going, wow, because it was an awesome performance. But yeah, moving into the preseason, like. It's so exciting, and this is why the title of our show today is Preseason Opener, because I think the Hall of Fame game, in the old preseason scenario where you had four games and then anyone that played the Hall of Fame game, it was the fifth game. This year, the Steelers and the Cowboys are two teams, and it's been talked a little bit about our fellow co-hosts of or hosts of BTSC shows, is like around the fact that the Steelers can actually operate this preseason like they would any other preseason because they've got the four games. So you can do that flow where it's all the undrafted guys, the guys on the fringe of the roster. The second week you might see a full first quarter from like the starting team. second, you know, the third game, you'll see more like a half potentially, even though Big Ben still probably won't play many snaps. And then that fourth game, it's guys that are really on that fringe fighting for positions and what have you. So I think it's really exciting. And I think we should be feeling pretty blessed about it. One, we've got all these guys and coaches going into the Hall of Fame. It's great that we can supplement that with a game. Like if you were able to make that, and I know, Mark, you know, you wanted to make last year's so bad and you would have done anything to make this year's if it had been possible. You know, it's just that's an awesome, that's like, it's pretty much the Steelers Hall of Fame weekend more than anything. But for us, when you think about the O-line, when you think about the running back position, when you think about our young wide receivers, when you think about the new, you know, secondary players that we've brought in, you know, a lot of those undrafted free agents, we really need that fourth game. Like we should feel very fortunate that we're having that fourth game, because I think there'd be a lot of questions and we'd, you know, there's more data and insights and play on tape that the coaches are now going to get to see against opposing teams. It's one thing to see stuff against your own teammates. It's a completely different thing to go up against an opposition team who haven't seen you before, who don't know your tendencies, you know. So there's someone in camp right now that might be getting battered and bruised and might be having the best camp, but maybe they show up against the other teams. Although you've still got the scenario where we don't want another Tuzar Skipper situation.
Yeah, well, he was a massive hype train, wasn't he? We talked about him last week and we all fell in love. But that's what happens to me, Maddie, with some of these players I'm going to outline today. They do some really cool things and it is only preseason, and the fan inside of you falls in love with them, and at the end of the day, they might get cut. So that's a reality we face as in the NFL. You can't have 90 people on your team. You can only have 53. 40 ought to cut, so... You know, it's still exciting though. It's these guys get a game check or they get to be a part of it. And they're coming from colleges, they're coming from other teams, guys getting new opportunities. It's just really good to have football back. And then in no time, in 4 weeks, we'll have our team and we'll go and verse the Bills. And I think right now, I think we have a good chance to, we're playing the Bills in week one, we have a good chance to beat them then rather than later. So it's going to be helpful.
Now, I had a question for you, Mark. It's been brought up in the live chat. Did you hear that Justin Houston went to the Ravens for the same, nah, almost the same amount of money that we signed Melvin Ingram?
That's okay. That's whatever.
Good.
I don't really care. Like, I saw it this morning with these, you know, big players going to opposition teams, and even my mate, Mike Hilton, goes to the Bengals. I dislike these AFC North teams that much. I don't care. I still think we have every chance to beat them. You've got to rally behind your guys. You can't worry about who you didn't get because it doesn't get you anywhere. You can't control that. So there's no point thinking, oh, we didn't get Malik Hooker. We didn't get this guy. We didn't get whoever. I was a little bit annoyed about Hilton going there. But that's gone. I support the jersey and the team, not the individual player. So it doesn't matter who's wearing the jersey. As long as they're a good person, a good bloke, and they can smash the Ravens or smash the Bengals and Browns too, then I'm happy. That's all I want to see. If we could beat them 6-0 every year, fantastic.
That's it. And I mean, as Ryan O'Toole says, like, you know, if it's the same amount of money, then maybe the Steelers didn't really want him. And the other thing too is I think the other thing is the attitude. You know, we don't want another prima donna in the Steelers team. You know, we want people that are going to actually, you know, go in there, you know, manage, you know, be happy to take, you know, a lesser role at times, or, you know, balance the snaps or what have you. And also, now that Vince is out too, I like what Ingram can do. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Ingram, so I don't think we need to go back into that one, but it is what it is. Also, before we crack right into it, Stacey Lynn, we've got to bring up this comment here. Stacey Lynn tried to make the Anzac biscuits.
Yeah, right. I tried
making. She says they ran together, but tasted good. Yeah, they kind of do run together, like when I've ever seen them made. That's kind of how it goes, really, unless they made a big one.
I've kind of got no idea what you mean by run together.
You know, like when it all mixes together, so it doesn't sit in its... I don't know. That's why I'm assuming what happened. I don't know. We might need Stacey Lynn to give more details. It just reminds me of the, you know, the... everyone calls it something different. You know, like the home tech at school or whatever it is. You know, where you do the cooking and all the other sort of things. I don't remember high school. Is it home ed or home... What's it called?
I can't remember. We had one might have been home tech or food tech or something like that.
Food tech, something like, that's what it was. Yeah. And I remember I nicked some of my mate's cookie stuff when he wasn't looking, and I made this giant cookie that like I put in the oven, and I had it like make where it wrapped around the oven trays, and I had this giant U-shaped cookie, and he had a small cookie, and the teacher came up after and was like, why are you different size cookies? And I was like, yeah, mine's a big U-shaped. I had this cookie.
It was
literally like, I can't, it's good for all the people viewing on like visual right now, but for the people on the podcast, it was like three dinner plates. Like imagine like one each side, and then the dinner plate is the U shape at the bottom. It was great. It was huge.
They're quite handy, those classes, to be honest. I still remember, I make a mean breakfast and a mean omelet. I still remember in year eight, I made a Spanish omelet, and then I've just, you know, improved it every single year going on now 15 years, which leads into
the Big Ben of Spanish omelets.
I was trying to segue into like being into a player that we're going to our second year, and then I've got 17 years of Spanish omelets, but here we go. Steelers, here we go. I'm so excited, Matty. Let's get cracking.
Let's talk. All right. So, and we will address the Steelers Hall of Honor. We're going to do that in part two. So don't think we're ignoring that one. But so home economics, that's what George Teston calls it. I know it's different in the US. But anyway. All right, let's crack into it. So the focus of today's show, Mark and I have basically gone away and we've picked a couple of players that we're sort of saying have a look out for in the Hall of Fame game and what they might mean for the Steelers and what can we expect from them. And, it's going to be an interesting one to see where we both land on it, because there's going to be players that obviously are rookies and there's going to be guys that are on the fringe roster. It'll be interesting to see whether we've got some overlap. Obviously, we talked about, some players recently in the last year, their deal, and Mark and I had minimal overlap, which is quite funny because often we think along the same lines. So, Mark, this week I want to go one for one, and we'll see how many we can get through. I've got a couple of guys that might be a bit shorter and a couple of surprise guys for you. But who's the first player on your list that Steelers fans, BTSC listeners should be looking out for in this Hall of Fame game? And what could that mean going forward?
I should have got out my jersey because I've got a number 84, but it's going to be Rico Bussi.
I like Rico Bussi. Like, I previewed him in War Room. We got him like under. Oh yeah, this is good. All right, let's go. Do it.
Okay, for my take on it, I don't know too much about him, but that's what I love about it. So I did see him have a interview with the Steelers, and he seems like a very humble guy, a very cool bloke. Very down to earth. He seems like a worker. He seems like he wants to get things done. Now, the reason I bring him up is I think in preseason games, these are other players that we fall in love with. I want to see him crack some big runs, some good catches, really move that ball forward and get us in a position to win. Because these preseason guys, they are trying to play for a job. They're trying to be competitive. So they want to make sure they get a spot. And on the Steelers receiving roster this year, there's maybe only one spot that might be there, which is Ray Ray's spot, number 5. And depending if they get 6. Now, Tomlin has always said, if you leave it on the field and put it on tape, we'll look at you. So if he can create some headway and some noise about Rico Bussi, great name, good number, he's going to be someone to watch for sure, at least during preseason or this game.
Yeah, that's it. And he's another player that, he had a bad ACL injury in 2019. So I know a bit about him, but, he had this ACL injury. And before that, he was getting a lot of vertical separation. He is only 6'4". He's like 186 pounds, what have you. But he runs like, I think it's a 4.5 40 time. So he's pretty quick when we look at it. And this is one of the guys that I've talked a little bit the last couple of weeks around wanting a developmental wide receiver that can do the return game. I think he's got a bit of experience in the return game and whether that puts pressure on a Ray Ray McLeod. But that's awesome. Yeah, I'm really interested to see what Rico can do, because you got to think, look at in 2019 what Deontay Johnson and what James Washington did with a Mason Rudolph and a Devlin Duck Hodges. If he can show up a little bit this week, I'd be really interested to see what he can do with a bit more first-team reps. And you know what? Like, as well, I hope people don't get, lost in this whole number 84 sort of situation, in the fact that he's got that. Like, there's 100 numbers or 99 numbers. Depends if you have a zero, right? But let's say there's 100 numbers that you can have a jersey with. There's 53 guys, in the roster that, are playing, week in, week out. Like, there's going to be a, like, people have to have the numbers, and we've retired two numbers. So at the end, and we've kind of pseudo retired another three to four, depending on your opinion.
Well, that's it, Maddie.
So we like, he's just got to wear it. Like, it doesn't, I don't want people to buy into the 84 thing.
You can't retire them all. I've always had this little idea about a lot of teams are retired about 20 numbers. But if this game continues until we're in it, we're in really like into our 80s or 90s and we're still watching football, are they going to go to like 10A, 10A and 10B and 11C? Like, how many numbers can you retire? And Rico Bussi was asked about the number 84 and he said, I just got given the number. And look, yeah, he's a young player. And these are the games we want to see these guys excel and really put, if you want to put a bit of stress on the coaches, this is what you want to do. You got to go, oh, hang on, we've got Ray Ray and we have a good core five. Do we bring in Rico Bussi as well? What can he bring to our Steelers offense? And I think he's going to be very exciting to watch if he comes out swinging and, you know, maybe he gets five receptions or four, a touchdown, does some key blocks, then he's definitely going to be someone fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think with him as well, like, you know, he's sort of the sort of player that I think he's going to be really good in like that, I'd call it the mid-passing game, but, you know, that sort of medium, you know, not too deep, not too long, like not too deep, not too short. But this is the thing. He's someone that can get open. But I'm interested to see what he's like in an NFL system as well and whether NFL coaching and getting off that injury has helped him. But he's a great player, Mark, that typifies why that first preseason game when you've got four or the Hall of Fame game in our instance, this is the sort of game where someone like that can start to build and progress. And, you know, if he'd been drafted last year where we didn't have the preseason in the way that we usually have it, or even like what we have this year, he's a sort of player that was going to suffer from that. So, I think that that's just an awesome pick. All right, let's go straight to your second one because I really like that.
No, you do my three in a row. Do my three in a row then?
No, just do the next one. We'll see if we get over that way.
All right. So the next one I looked into on the offense again. I'm very intrigued to see how this running game is going to go. And there have been reports that maybe Najee won't play that much because he's a superstar. So I'm thinking to my next guy, I can see it as well, maybe play one drive. And I also had this thought too. We talked about this off air a few weeks or weeks ago, months ago. We talked about us playing football. And I remember you saying to me, Maddie, that you wouldn't play because you wouldn't trust the other team trying to tackle you. And it made a lot of sense to me.
So to give everyone a bit of background, Mark and I were talking about sports that we would play. And I was saying to Mark, I've still got, like, I just turned 30, right? And I still got this thing where I'm like, oh, could I go around again and just play, like, you know, park football, you know, as we like to call it again. We're like it's proper competition and tackle, what have you. But I said to Mark that a lot of the time for us, I played when I was about, the last season I played when I was like 23, 24. And the thing about it was that there were teams that just basically wanted a legal way to go out and brawl. And then there were half the rest of the league that wanted to actually play rugby. And I just said to Mark, like, that's what I don't trust, because once you start professional work or, you know, working regularly and what have you, you can't be walking in with, you know, black eyes every other week and, you know, this injury and limping and all the rest of it. It's just not a viable, you know, proposition. So, yeah, that's sort of the background to that one. But
that's why I reckon it could be very similar to maybe holding out Najee and why they hold out a lot of the pros, because now there are 90 people on this roster and on the other side on the Cowboys roster. I'm not saying they're going to go out and be thuggish. However, these players aren't in the NFL culture. They're coming in, and if they want to put a big lick on Najee, don't they? They would want to hammer him to be in the news and say, oh, I took him out, right? Yeah. So you've got to hold him back because you don't really trust the opposition and what they're going to do until into the regular season when you're going to be, you know, going 100%. And also, if you put Najee in and he doesn't run 100%, you're going to get injured as well. So there's a lot of those factors. So I see – have I said my player yet? All right, time out. My player is Kalen Ballage. I want to see what he can do, because we already have seen Jalen Samuels, and I'm a big fan of Samuels. I just like the way, as a human and as a football player. We've got Benny Snell there, McFarlane's there as well. Now, how does Kalen Ballage crack that roster? Like, it's the same similar thing to Bussi. He's on the outside looking in. if he can create some havoc, then he will get these coaches talking again.
Yeah, nice. He's not on my list.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think there was that reports the other night after the training camp that McFarlane broke a 40-yarder or what have you. Like, I mean, Balazs is fighting Samuels for a spot, really. So at the bottom of the roster there. And I could see them putting Balazs on that practice squad if it's 16 players and you can have more veteran players. So, you know, maybe you're right. You know, this is the one for Balazs to step up. But this is also the sort of game that Balazs could be playing for a spot on another team. And, you know, this is the sort of game where you do have those, you know, third and fourth string running backs play and you get a feeling for whether they're going to scrape the roster or not. Or at a minimum, they allow you to rest your top guys like your Najee Harris's and your you know, Anthony McFarland's. I would hope, though, McFarland does play a bit in this game. I think he does need to get a chance to go against, you know, NFL sort of speed and, you know, timing and quality, even though that we are talking about a game that's going to be largely played by, you know, the undrafted, the practice squad guys, the third and fourth stringers. I think that's sort of the situation with Kalen Balazs. But, yeah, I mean, interested to see what he shows up because, you know, we better know what he's going to do before he's going to make the team. So.
Yeah, well, it's just that this running back, we all know who number one is. I think we know who number two is with Snell. And then the counterpart, maybe the trickster, will be McFarland. And if they carry a fourth guy for special teams too, maybe Balazs can be on defensive guy and special teams, or he can start to run the ball. I just think it's like a lot of these guys as well, like they could easily not make the team. Both these players I've already said, Bussey and Balazs, won't make the team. However, they might put a good bit of tape on preseason, and that's what it is. I'm not saying they're going to be 100% to make it. I'm just saying in this game, this is a perfect game for them to put everything out there and go, why can't I play football with the Steelers, you know, and make people nervous. And it's going to make these other players better in front of them. Ray Ray would be sitting there. If Bussey takes one back, Ray Ray would be sitting there sweating. He'd be like, oh, no. Like, that's my job, and he took one back. And the fans will too. The fans will get behind Bussey. Do you want me to do my third?
Yeah, go for your third. Yeah, go for your third.
This one is solely based on, and I want to, like, this one, if he does play really well, this is the defense. This would be like Tuzar Skipper last year because of his name. And you might know more about him as a player, but I love the number 51. I love what James Farrier did with the Steelers, and I like the name Buddy Johnson. I just think it's a cool name.
I don't think he's going to be wearing 51 during the season.
What are you doing to me?
Trey Turner's wearing a 51 at the moment, and they had that photo shoot the other day, and Trey Turner had the 51 on. I don't think Buddy, and I don't know, I didn't see one of Buddy Johnson, so I actually don't think that's going to be his number come the season. Sorry.
All right, then we'll scratch him off then. I just think for the number. What number? So he's going to have to make the team and then choose another new number.
I think that's going to be the case. I think Trey Turner is going to play with the 51.
Because didn't Tuzar Skipper wear 51 as well? Wow, maybe I've just got something with the 51.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure he did. Oh, I could be completely wrong.
I don't know what Tuzar.
Anyways, so the whole idea behind that was that I was just going with the name base, and I thought, like, how cool is Buddy? Like, what if your name was Buddy? Like, that'd be the coolest name in the world.
But he's like old school. He's got like the neck pad.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah. And if you look, okay, for his talent wise, if he can turn up on the field and then, you know, I chose a defensive guy too. If we see him get a sack or a forced fumble and get the Steeler fans excited, really hammer one of those guys with the Cowboys, then it's another guy on their list and say, well, will he be depth behind Spillane and Bush? Is he a Steeler for the future? And if he doesn't wear 51 because of Trey Turner, fair enough. We'll put him as something else. But I just thought he'd be another interesting guy. And it's another guy we drafted too. He was drafted, correct? Yeah.
Yeah. Fourth round. Yeah. Okay. I like it. Well, you've cracked through them super quickly. I can't believe how quickly we've gone through. I mean, it's hard because we're talking about players as well. What are guys we haven't seen on tape before?
Exactly.
But, you know, I've got four anyway. But I've got a lot, you know, we've got some exciting things coming up for part two. So why don't we bring Sling and the Slang way forward to now? We usually use it for part to open part two. But we're going to move things around today, you know, mix it up a little bit. Just as we always like to say, as Big Ben likes to sling the rock, we like to sling the Aussie slang. Mark, what do you got for the listeners this week?
Yeah, you've done and thrown an audible right there, and you've caught me off guard. I've done a false start. I don't know what's going on. I'm really all out of the loop.
5-yard penalty.
5-yard.
We're going to lose five listeners off listening live right now.
Yeah, they've been going up and down all night. It's, you know, what are we, first and 15? No, so I've got this one today, and I know you know what this is. It's and I really can't get my head around it because I never say this phrase.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and it doesn't, it's, if we can just like try and dissect what this actually means. Sure. So in Australia, we have this phrase that is called "have a good one."
And I say that all the time.
But it doesn't mean
people in America say that now too.
Yeah, but it's just like with the context, like it doesn't really mean too much. Like me and Maddie could be at a party and I'd be like, oh, I'll check you later, Maddie. I'm going out to, you know, go buy some Mickey D's. And Maddie would say, oh, have a good one. I'd be like, you too. Like, what am I having and why? And am I having a good time? Am I having a good
Macca? But have a good one's like, you know, but that's what I like about it. Have a good one is like, have a good day, have a good game, have a good drive, have a good whatever. You know,
have a good life. Have a good one. It leaves the second person into the interpretation of whatever it can be. So the first person just goes, have a good one, mate. And you're like, can yeah, I tell you?
Well, you just said Mickey D's as well. I think we have talked about that before. But for everyone as well, Mickey D's is what Australians call McDonald's, or we say Macca's, which is an really Aussie thing. Like when you go, I'm going to go get some Macca's or whatever. Like when I've been in the States, everyone's like, what the hell is Macca's? It's very different to, you know, other you know, words, connotations with Mac as well. So, yeah, that's pretty funny. Have a good one. Do you know what I find really weird? You know, when you get like work emails and people put best at the bottom of them, right? Like I know I'm a stickler. Like some people, I don't know, maybe it's an Aussie thing they do, but some people put best at the bottom, like instead of like kind regards or thank you or whatever it is, they write best. I always sit there, I'm like, what is it? Is it, you know, best regards, best wishes, best day, you know, best piss off? What does it mean?
It's exactly the same as have a good one. So like I'm telling you, I'd never say have a good one because I don't really. A lot of guys say it back to me, or you know, when you go, someone gives, oh, here's your coffee, you're like, oh, have a nice day, or something like that. And then you say, you too, like you get them all mixed up. Like we just say these things just off our tongue straight away. With the email and stuff like that, I say kind regards, or depending who I'm talking to, like cheers, or sometimes you just leave them in suspicion and say nothing at all.
Well, George Teston's come in with a special play because I didn't actually have anything for Slinging the Slang this week. Mark and I just wanted to talk some Aussie stuff. You know, usually I've never always been able to find a word, but, you know, George Teston, you've come in. You've saved me here with the Hail Mary. So George Teston says, what does this mean? I come from the land down under where beer does flow and men chunder. Well, obviously land down under is Australia. Mark, what does chunder mean?
Chunder means to be a vomitron. This means after a big night or during the night time.
During the night, yep. Mark and I come from the same school of thought.
Probably better than, like, if I was really sick from the beers, I used to try and sleep it out because I don't like to vomit or anything like that. No one really does, right? But chunder is like
surely you've done a sneaky mid-session chunder.
Oh yeah, because you can fit more in once you go to the pub or the club. You go around the corner before you see the security guards, and you just go, you know, and then you run around and go, oh, how am I going? Am I looking all right? And you just got everything down your shirt, and the guard's like, big night, mate. Like, nah, I'm pretty good, eh? And then you don't get in. But yeah, chunders is it's pretty gross. We have a lot of gross terms like that. Now I'm gonna get you back before we go to break, Maddie, because a few weeks ago I did the American accent. And our mate, man. Here we go, mate.
But the thing is, all right, but to be fair, right, I'm not too bad with accents. I'm one of those people, though, that, like, I have to, like, naturally break it out, not just, like, say it. That's the thing. Like, maybe I can start talking about it a bit later on.
Mine always starts with, oh, my God, can you guys do an American accent?
This is the thing. And, like, the easy one is to do, like, the, oh, my God, and, like, the totally and sound like a, you know, teenage American chick kind of thing, But I actually can do it. The thing is this is the thing is like, I actually can do a half decent one and I've been picked up on that before. So maybe we'll break it out later on. Part two. I can't do it off the cuff. Off the cuff, I'm terrible. Okay.
We just used about, I love when this thing in the slang when we have nothing prepared and we have used off the cuff, Mickey D's or Macca's.
Chunder.
How many have we used? Thanks to George in that one. And I said, oh, George, I think I did, use my credit card. Like it just hurts my throat when I do that. I just can't. Why are we, because we talk fast. Oh, I talk fast in Australia because you don't want the flies.
Very fast.
Yeah, you don't want the flies to, you know, during summer to, you know, around your face and stuff. You got to talk fast and get your point out.
Yeah. I do. I enjoy bad shrimp on the barbie. I love it. It's so good. It's so good. I love it. It's great. Like it's not as bad. That's the thing. Like, it's great. That is absolutely great. Yeah, they call it Mickey D's. The vomitor vodka drinker comes up. It'd be better to tell us about chundering than the vodka drinker. But the vomitorium was a Roman thing. They would eat to excess and use a feather to vomit. So
that's not. Is that true?
I can't imagine it is.
So that was.
It's past vodka o'clock now in the United States. On the East Coast. I don't. Is that true?
The Romans were going before they went to the club in Roman days to go dancing. They carried a feather around so they would get past the guards. So is that what they did?
Michael O'Malley says, I'm Irish. We don't puke. I've seen plenty of Irish guys puke. Plenty of Irish guys puke in my time.
That's funny. Well, vodka drinker, I like that. That's something I've learned today that, you know. So if you see a bunch of Aussie blokes carrying feathers around, then you
all right, you know. Taking it back to the Steelers, though, who do you reckon would be the biggest chunderer on a night out?
Oh, I got it. My first
and
thought
then we
got
to get back to Steelers content.
100%. Yeah. My first thought was Juju. I think he might take it a bit too far. He might, because I think he might get one or two drinks in front of himself, be a bit too much of a party animal, chunder, and then back to dancing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, BMW Benji says it's not true. He took Latin for 8 years. Fun fact, I also took Latin for 5 years. I got sick of it. My school was really good at it. And like I'd get like high 80s out of 100 and everyone else was getting mid 90s and I got bored of being the shittest player. Oh, sorry, the worst player.
There we go. There we go.
That's the second swear jar from me.
Put that in the tip jar, man. You're getting too relaxed.
I got bored of being the lowest. I got being, you know, bored of being the lowest on the depth chart, so I quit. Which isn't really the right attitude, but anyway, you get scaled down in the schooling system here, so it is what it is. All right, well, that finishes up part one of this week's Steelers Touchdown Under. Join us for part two. We're going to crack on with my list of players to watch out for in the upcoming Hall of Fame game. We've got a question to kick it off that we want everyone in the live chat to feed into as well when we kick off Q&A. We have heaps of audience Q&A. And we've got a super chat from Ryan O'Toole as well that we'll open up, you know, part two with. But join us for part two. If you're on the audio side, flick over, whether you're listening on Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, Anchor, iTunes app, whatever it is.